Bottom Line.
Welcome everybody to The Bottom Line. Thank you so much for your support. Please go ahead and subscribe to the channel and share it with some of your friends. That's the way we know that you like it, you like the content, and honestly, that's how we get the message out, is we need you to subscribe. Also hit that notification bell. Right at the top of the hour, I just want to go ahead and thank Patriot Mobile, because I'm not going to stop once we get going, and say thank you, Patriot Mobile, for supporting us. Thank you for being a company that really is out on the front lines fighting for human life, for value, for helping us secure lives at the border and rescue children. Thank you for your commitment to communities, to God's heart. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone company in the United States. Please check them out. Go to their website, mention The Bottom Line. You'll get free activation, or dial 972-PATRIOT. And mention The Bottom Line for free activation. Glenn Story, Scott, and the boys and the gals at Patriot Mobile, thank you so much. I have been diving into culture, as we are in culture, and I told the team here, we're just going to halt for a minute with some guests coming in, because there's just some things we have to talk about. We've got to dive into what I'm seeing, what's happening in our culture, and how we're being deceived. Particularly, this conversation today is for everybody, because we all know Gen Z. And what's Gen Z today? Rebecca, can you maybe pull up what would be classified as the correct definition of Gen Z today? I think it's age 25 and under, but give me like a birth date, the year to the year. I want to look at this, because, and by the way, who's the people that decide what generation is where? But there definitely is a change and a difference. But I actually think it's preloaded. So Oxford describes Generation Z as the generation born in the late 90s, which is vague. What is late 90? I mean, it's 97, 8, 9, 99 maybe. And the early 21st century, perceived as being familiar with the use of digital technology. So it's the digital technology generation. The informed generation. How old does that make them now? So if they're born in 94, they would be 28. So if they're born in 97, they'd be 25. So it's 25 and under. I'm going to go ahead and say those generations cross over. So you got late baby boomers and early, you know, Xers, and then late Xers and early millennials. And so they cross over. So I'm just going to call it 30 and under. Because there's some outliers, right? And of course, it doesn't mean that you're boxed in, but I'm going to say this. The most informed generation ever, you hear this all the time. They've got more information than any other generation because of technology. We also know now that it's a generation of activism. They want to move. They want to be active. And that's a good thing, because I would argue the baby boomers didn't move at all, hardly any. They were hunkering down, and social issues on the other side of the track or in a different city maybe didn't pertain to you, so they didn't fight the same way. Now we've got this Gen Z, which is receiving a lot of love. Gen Z is celebrated in the church. I'd say at times almost, I feel like worshipped. Honestly, just kind of come out and say it. I feel like they're worshipped even in culture, Gen Z. And it's like almost we've gone stupid to all previous things, and whatever Gen Z says needs to happen. And I would argue the opposite, because there's no life experience and there's a crazy culture that they're walking in through their early 20s with absolute insanity. Questions as little as like, what's a woman? You know, and then they've got amazing things happening in their generation. They watch Roe fall. But then I get to myself and I go, okay, but do they know why it was such a battle? Because Roe has been here since 73. So Roe is double their age. So do they even know what fell? Do they know the war that was fought to see it fall? Do they understand the battle scars of those twice their age and how they've contended for this moment? And then you step into a 9/11 scenario and you hear Gen Z go, it doesn't really affect us. We don't really care about that much anymore. It's not really that relevant. 9/11, we actually think it was our fault. We actually, you know, it's kind of, And it's just riveting to watch them flail like fish on a dock. Have you ever fished? You fish, you get that fish in, and I like deep sea fishing on the boat because I need motion. I don't like sitting. You bass guys, you're amazing. You got a fast boat going from zero to your spot, and then you chill, and I can't do that. I can't sit in that bass boat and just fling it in under the rock. I need some movement. But once you get that fish on the boat or on the dock, it is flopping. It is moving, man. It's fighting for survival. It's looking for oxygen, which it gets out of water. It is grasping and is gasping, right? That is the picture I have in my mind when you talk to me about Gen Z. And as much love, I love Gen Z. We must invest in them. But I'm watching them flip and flop and flail like fish on a dock in culture. Yet, it's the most informed generation. It's the generation with this at their fingertips. Any answer, look what you just did. I just Googled this real quick. There was no Google when I was a senior in high school. I was in a library going through books. They wouldn't even tell me which aisle to find the book at. I had to ask a friend. Now it's there. It's at their fingertips. But then I came to this revelation. It is very wide information on many, many topics, but it's very shallow. There's no depth. And as a matter of fact, I find very little conviction in Gen Z, which is why it's so easy to take this new generation and move them. And then in prayer, as I'm wrestling and battling, saying, God, help me understand how to communicate to this culture. And why is it that I'm watching somebody align with a set of values, somebody under 30, align with a set of values today, and tomorrow they are completely on another issue, on another movement, which is behind another issue, they're completely counter of what they were yesterday in this movement. You want an example? I'll give you an example. Pro-life today, right? But then tomorrow, pro-sexualization of children, pro-pornography, sex ed curriculum to kindergarten from the same person, the same people. And I go, wait, how you value life here, but now you don't value it here. No, but I align with this movement and then I align with that movement. But hold on. Are your alignments rooted in a spirit of conviction based on a set of values, deeper based on truth? What is your truth? And then you come to the realization that they have, to a degree, and they may not identify this or acknowledge this themselves, adopted some form of fluidity in truth. And then you migrate that conversation into the church. And now you find that the Gen Zer in the church, in faith, can look a little bit different than the one that's not in church, but the same concept kind of applies. They still flip and flop. They're still teetering at times. And so I was still not satisfied. I was like, no, I got to go deeper than that. Who are the voices that they listen to then? And I ask this of people all the time, who's the loudest voice in your life? And it may not be a person. It may be Fox News. It may be CNN. It may be Twitter, TikTok. It may be a football player or whatever. But let's identify on a map the loudest voices in your life, honestly now. And do this exercise. Just put on a piece of paper the voices that you feel influence your day. And then prioritize them and organize them. And ask yourself, step back and see the forest from the trees a little bit and ask yourself, should that person's voice have that much influence on my life? Well, what are you saying, Yaku? I mean that if you get a call from a certain person, they can disrupt your whole day. Or if the news cycle is not quite running the same way, or the Supreme Court of the United States says, you know what, it's really not our job. Actually, as a matter of fact, this is retroactive. We're going to fix an oopsie, a mistake we made in 1973. We overstepped our boundaries in 1973, took the power away from the states for how this country was set up, and we brought in Roe v. Wade, and we took the power from the states. Now, in 2022, we're actually just going to restore power to the states. It wasn't even a Roe conversation, to be honest with you. It could be anything. Any place where the federal government oversteps, and oh dear goodness, are they overstepping. They're overstepping on every level. So for this one time, the Supreme Court says, we're going to restore the power to the individual states. It didn't even have to be about Roe. That was just an example. There's other things where they need to go in and do the same, to be honest. And say, listen, we've overstepped our boundaries. Push this back to the states. Wyoming, you decide for Wyoming. Tennessee for Tennessee. Texas for Texas. But no, Gen Z hears that and freak out and throw tantrums in the parks and pour blood on themselves and cornstarch and corn syrup and flip and flop and look like insane and yell, my body, my body. And I go, number one, we're not talking about your body. It's a child's body. But number two, hey, the Supreme Court didn't make a final decision. They just said, let the states decide. I use that not to make this a Roe v. Wade pro-life, pro-abortion conversation. Using it as a tangible example for us to look at how insane people started behaving. How they were literally going berserk. Or let's go back to George Floyd, Black Lives Matter. How easy was it truly? You understand, though, that the majority of the people throwing rocks through windows were Gen Zers. They were under the age of 30. Which ironically, around the world, if you look at what's called non-premeditated crime, in Africa, we call it tsotsi crime. Tsotsis, right? Meaning young men. They commit some of the most heinous crimes on earth under the age of 30. Historically. Why? Because they're impressionable. Heck, their brains are not formed yet. A man's brain is only fully formed at 28. But now you're looking at Gen Z and you're flooding them with information from every angle. It's so wide on every topic under the sun, and they're consuming sound bites, bits of information. Pa, 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 pa. It's just peppering them. And then they go, oh, I know this topic. Why? Because I read a quick article about it. I read an op-ed, or I listened to a quick podcast. Now I'm an expert. Well, great. How about you listen to a podcast on how to fly a Boeing 747 and go fly the Boeing 747? I think not, maybe. Maybe no passengers will get on with you because that's crazy talk. You need to invest 10,000 hours into a single matter to become an expert. That's wild, widely recognized. You need to go be Steph Curry and go shoot when the lights are out and the fans are sleeping, right? Or sucking on nachos. And that dude is shooting 200-300 three-pointers a day to become an expert. But those people are a dying breed. Now it's just consume, quick hit, quick fix, 12-hour news cycle, not even a 24-hour news cycle. And now you're an expert to go make what? Radical decisions on human life. Radical decisions on gender. Radical decisions on changing language. And we're listening to this generation. I told you they're worshipped. Radical decisions on changing, gender-affirming, whatever you want to call it, surgery. Life-altering decisions based on what? 2-inch deep, superficial level information. Very wide. Tons of information. Highly informed. No conviction, can't root it and anchor it in a single thing, no consistency, because it's fluid. But the danger is now when you placate to that generation and you don't bring the elders into the conversation. Or, let's make it real practical in football season. How about next year, the Dallas Cowboys get rid of everybody and they just draft, right, from the sixth round and have walk-ons and have a whole team of 19 through 22-year-olds. And say, here we are, NFL. We're going to come play football. It doesn't work that way. Where are the veterans in the locker room? Where's the consistency? Where's the accountability? Where's the guy that's been in on the field for 12 years? Where's the guy that's seen every single play? Where's the guy that's gone through all the drama and dilemmas of life, that has settled down, that is no longer the most important person in the room to himself? You need those people. No. We're going to change language because the young people say change language. We're going to perform double mastectomies on 12-year-old girls because the young culture, you know, they're more accommodating to choices. Don't you know? They're kinder and they're more compassionate. Bogus. Absolute hogwash. That is not compassion. That is alignment with evil. Encouraging a 12-year-old child to undergo massive surgery to permanently, forever alter her life, or taking language such as pedophilia and saying, no, come on now. Are you sure? Maybe we need to be a little more tolerant. And now you get the crazy baby boomers and the crazy Xers and millennials who've always been the outliers, who always wanted to actually exploit people and hurt people. And now they have an audience with Gen Z. Now all of a sudden, the 45-year-old drag queen, who basically was abdicated to a drag nightclub to go perform whatever show he wants to go perform and dance for his people. Now he's finding an audience with Gen Z. And Gen Z is reviving the matter because all things should be considered. All things should get a chance in the light. And so now a 45-year-old drag dude is dancing for 5-year-old Sarah and 5-year-old Johnny in Texas. All while we say, but it's the most empowered generation. I'm going to say the misfits of the previous generations are exploiting Gen Z. They're targeting Gen Z. George Soros is targeting Gen Z because he understands they're impressionable. He understands that it's surface level depth on their information, that it's not conviction. They understand that they've convinced them that maybe you don't need a God. Or actually, as a matter of fact, you can be God. Heck, that lines up with Satan in the book of Genesis. Fastest growing religion, and it is a religion. They say it's not, but it is atheism. Well, what is atheism? If there's no God, then who's the ultimate power in your life? You. So you're God. You're now the deity. Are you sure? Stop for a New York second and ask yourself, are you sure that you want that responsibility? You want to be the ultimate decider. You want to have the power and the decision when your mom gets cancer. Or when there's violence or in a city's on fire. You want to be the highest power in your life. Let me share a little secret with you. You're going to meet your end pretty quickly. We are in a place where I firmly believe that the millennials bought the lie that women are in a perpetual competition with men. Okay? My generation, the Xers, it kind of the tail, and then the millennials bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Hillary Clinton sold them. There's a glass ceiling above you, and you got to smash it. You got to prove your worth on this planet. And I go, no, you're pretty worthy. You're pretty special as a woman. You, not much you need to prove. I mean, you can do things we can't do. And yes, it's only two genders. What is a woman? Let me help you just real quick. This massive national migraine we have about how do we figure this out? We're sweating bullets and we just can't figure it out. How do we articulate? How do we help people? Biology. What is a woman? One who was born with a womb. That's a woman. You can go cut your breast off. You can stick new ones on there. You can castrate yourself. You can do whatever you want. Okay? You have value as a woman. You don't need to. There's nothing to prove. You will bear children. You will be able to have intuition like no man can. You will be able to connect everything that's happened in your life all to one sentence and remember everything and reach back 20 years ago and go elasto arm, grab it and bring it back into the current and keep the home steady and have a career and manage the kids and the schedule and push all the right buttons on your husband where he needs to grow. You have this masterful ability that God put in your DNA as a woman. So when we bought the lie that women are competing with men, right? Little did we know we'd get all the way to the point where women would be okay with forfeiting their position to a man. How funny is that? How funny is that? That now we've got men who can't make it in the world as men. We got Leah Thomas, a guy who can't make, I don't know, a county divisional team as a swimmer, but's now swimming against women. We now have girls losing college scholarships that they have worked for their whole life. Because if you're going to be a D1 collegiate athlete, trust me, I play professional sport. You start at 6. You put in 10,000 hours is chicken fry. That's nothing. It's your life. You become the sport, and then you get a D1 scholarship. Sorry, Sarah. We know you're 18, and you've won national titles, and you swum your tail off, and there's only 2 scholarships on the swim team that's full rides because football gets all the scholarships. And we have to have a girls' tennis team. But you know what? Take one for the team. Be a good Gen Zer. Have compassion. We're going to give your scholarship for a dude that's insecure that wants to be a girl today. Yeah, that's going to fly. No, but women are competing with men and they need to smash that glass ceiling. And the same people that fed you that dog food bowl is now feeding you that you need to step aside because dude that weighs 220 that can bench press his body weight is now going to swim against Sarah, who weighs 130. But there's no advantage. No. It's compassion. That is false love and false compassion. Nothing about that. It comes from the heart of God. Nothing. Women are being decimated in this country. 95% of sex trafficking victims in this country are women. The rape rate's through the roof. Go look at the rate. Pull something. I don't even know if there's a stat on this. Can you try and pull up some sort of a graph of the amount of 30-year-old women today unmarried versus, I don't know, let's pick when this new generation started, 1995. Let's try something like that. Just want to see if there's a comparison because there's an unprecedented amount of women now who are saying, we bought into this lie. Now we're in our mid-30s. We kind of want to have a family and children, but we're not married and we can't find a guy that's worth dating. No, because you emasculated him. You neutered him. Now you got a whole bunch of pansies running around in this country who will not defend women, who will not value you. And when we say defend women, I don't mean that you can't handle yourself, right? Even in a fist fight, I'm talking about defending a woman, defending her honor. Defending her value, defending her righteousness, and yes, maybe sometimes defending her physically, or providing, or loving on. Is there a stat? The percentage of women, Dan, if we can switch to the screen here, the percentage of women married by age 30 has dropped. Oh, that's funny. Yaku's wild idea, and I have never even researched this, is substantiated. Let's dive into this. Has dropped drastically since the 70s, even just from the 90s. For the last 5 decades, the percentage of women who are married by the age 30 in the UK, that's UK. See if you can find the US for me. I think it's going to be even more radical. I just know because we work with a lot of these women and they are wailing, weeping, going, I've gone on 35 dates and the guy, they're not interested in my personality. They just want sex. And if I don't watch porn with him, they say I don't love him. And if it's not as weird as all get out, or forget about Netflix and chill, those days are over. Now it's just like the lover's love movement has exploded from just sex with anything at any time, no matter what, no commitments, and just be in the wind. Your yes is not your yes and your no is not your no. It is utter dysfunction. And the Gen Zers do not know where to find true north. They're upside down. Absolutely. Let me know if you find something. Give you a stat real quick. A friend of mine came to me one day and he said, Yaku, Gen Z is the generation that fights pornography stronger than any other generation. And I said, I cannot agree with that. No way, because I've got other information. See, we got a way to gain access to Pornhub's internal statistics. And Pornhub's internal statistics tells us that it is the generation that's the largest consumer of pornography, is Gen Z. And it's also the generation that's producing the most porn on themselves and distributing it, is Gen Z. So I'm telling you, Gen Z is being decimated, where to the millennials, they told women, you're to compete with men. They drove them out of families. Don't have children. You're going to lose your career, which is a lie from the pit of hell. So they were not getting married. They were not multiplying. Now our birth rate has plummeted to where we are in a negative growth curve as Americans. And some of you might say, well, good, we're overpopulated. We are underpopulated. Oh, that's not just my comment. Elon Musk was asked, what's the biggest danger to our culture? And it was the lack of birth. We're not overpopulated. That is a one world order, new world order nonsense agenda. It's a eugenics program, of which Margaret Sanger, by the way, was a part of it. You want to look at the black birth rate versus the black abortion rate in this country? We are on our way to get to China's birth rate, where there will not be an America. We, in fact, need to grow this nation. We need to grow family. So then the millennial girls bought into don't marry, have a career, don't have children. And so family was decimated, but that was always the plan. The plan and everything you're talking about today, whether it's the border crisis, and yes, it's a crisis at the border, down to Roe v. Wade, sex trafficking. Let's keep that up for a second, if you don't mind. I can see it from the corner of my eye. I'm multitasking here. But it's the decimation of the family, the nuclear family, driving the husband, wife, in a monogamous relationship, a loyal, trustworthy relationship where two become one, according to the word of God, a man and a woman, one man, one woman, born a man, born a woman, biologically, as God destined it. Decimate that and society crumbles. So you pin the woman against the man, that's Sun Tzu. You tell her that he's going to rob from her, he's stealing her opportunity. She can do anything he can do, but she shouldn't bear fruit. She shouldn't have children. No, that's going to be a distraction. So you get women to buy into that lie, which they did. Okay? Now I'm telling you, the family's even under greater attack in Gen Z. It's not being reversed. They're doubling down, but in a different way. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Let's look at this real quick. Women's marital status. This is the U.S. let's look at this. Am I seeing this correctly, that 50%, is that a percentile of women that are married? Yes. Really? Wow. Okay, so we fell about 10%, close to 10%. Let's call it 8.5% from when this generation, Gen Z, came to Earth. So now we're saying that we're dipping below 50. So let's say 49% of women today in America are married. Now, is this an age bracket? Do we know an age bracket? Is this, I mean, of course, kids under 17. So probably those who are able to marry, I'm assuming. 18 and up, yeah. Okay, so only under 50% of women are married. And then what is this graph? We're looking at never married. So it's not just a single marriage and divorce. So obviously the top graph includes divorce. So a current woman like my mom, who's not married, Tammy in the office, who's not married, would count under the unmarried, but they were married before. Now let's look at the never married. It went from, let's argue, 24% to 31%. From 1990. That there says it all. That there says that marriage is being decimated, which means the heterosexual relationship is being decimated. The one woman, one man concept that has stood the test of time, that is proven functional, that is proven to be stable in family. It's actually the only tested. Wonder why? Because God instituted it. That is under attack more now under Gen Z than it was under the millennials. And the stats show us. Why? Because I firmly believe Gen Z does not honor marriage. Not to the letter and the core as God designed it. So at a wedding this weekend, and the pastor said something I thought was very well said. Marriage is in fact not a contract, it's a covenant. And a contract is built on mutual distrust. And I've signed many contracts in my life. It's built on mutual distrust. I don't trust that you will do this, 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 and this. So I want my lawyers to put that in the contract. Well, you don't trust that I will do this, this, this. And if you don't perform based on what I think you're not going to perform at, so I'm almost speaking death over it, that's a contract. A covenant is based on what we mutually agree upon for the future, what we're committing to, what we're going to do. Covenant is going out the door. Because in a covenant, you don't walk away. There's no out. There's no exit clause in a covenant. And marriage is a covenant in front of God. It's a spiritual covenant in front of God. That reverence, I think, is lost. So I dug deeper because I was still not satisfied. I was like, there's got to be something deeper, though. How is it that Gen Z is so impressionable? And also now the number one trafficked generation, the number one sexually exploited generation in history, which we could say that the most slaves per generation, sex slaves, human trafficking slaves. But the irony is self-implicating, self-exploiting, to a point now where in our industry, where we fight human trafficking, we're seeing that there's a decline in the prevalence in the number of pimps. Because the 12-year-old girl that's now being completely coerced by a buyer of sex don't need a pimp. The cell phone is the pimp. Twitter becomes the pimp. Instagram, Facebook, That's the connector, the pimp, the facilitator, the pimp. And now it's Cash App and Venmo. And that concert of apps and phones, that's the pimp, because the child is sitting at the dinner table talking directly to a buyer. If we do not jump in here now with a fire alarm 911, something worse will happen with the next generation. What are they calling the next generation? Alpha. Which means A, beginning, first letter. You wonder the beginning of what? The beginning of what? Right now it looks like it's demonic. So then as I dove deeper, I came to this prayerful revelation. Gen Z will tell you that they love Jesus. And then Gen Z will tell you, a lot of them, that they are pro-life. But then the same Gen Z will tell you that they are pro-sexual liberation and freedom. And then some of them will tell you human trafficking is bad. People shouldn't be sold. And then the same person will tell you they're pro-choice. And you go, okay, well, why does this life have value and not that life? And they can't answer you because they're joining a movement. Or they'll inflict violence on an elderly person with a mask on and a hoodie on their head, but tell you that they are Christian. And so we can go on and on and on. And then I came to the conclusion prayerfully that a lot of Gen Z today will say they're Christian. And this may be the case for all the generations, but predominantly I want to talk about Gen Z. They'll say that they're Christian and they love Jesus. And I'm telling you, they don't know him. Because it's not really love. You can actually not love what you don't know. But you can feel like you do. And see, we've gone into the feeling culture. If it feels right, it must be good. If it feels bad, it must be bad. If it feels right, I can join it. For this moment, tomorrow it may not feel right. Then I can change my mind. But for now, it feels good. So it must be from God. Or right now, it feels bad. So it's not from God. Well, the news flash is that love corrects and correction hurts. So correction doesn't feel good. Now we got a problem. Now we can never correct. Oh, that's right. I was just at a seminar where I spoke as a keynote where teachers and principals were crying out going, there's no way to steady this runaway ship if we can't bring accountability back into the classroom. And they were telling me about a four-year-old child that obviously is going through abuse at home that's just telling the principal to F off. And there's no recourse. That's anarchy. Because you can't make the child feel bad. Or you can tell the child, listen, Johnny, it's 2022. Guess what happens in 2023? You're doing fifth grade again. Well, what do you mean? You failed. So you're doing it again. And we're going to work with you and love on you and champion you and get you help. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't fail my child. Society says you can't fail a child. You mean monster. Pass the child. Lower your standards. That's who we have become. Forget about participation trophies. Now we're celebrating dysfunction. Now, as a matter of fact, we're going to celebrate you when you're mediocre. When you set the bar so low that we actually need to change culture to make culture go lower so you don't feel bad that you set the bar low. Oh, this one's hurting. I don't care, frankly, honestly. It's time for us to call these things what they are. It's insanity. It is absolutely decimating our culture. It is destroying our nation. It's destroying planet Earth. It's destroying the human race. It's making us dumb, stupid. It's making us vultures of one another, cannibalizing opportunity, stepping over people, no morality, no conviction. Your yes is not your yes. Just do what you feel. Your no is not your no. Now you got Gen Zers tell you they love Jesus and they just make radical decisions. And then I say, pause. Here's my revelation. Can you anchor whatever it is today you think is the right thing to do based on your feelings or your thoughts? Can you anchor it actually in the Word of God? If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, well, I'm not going to expect you to anchor anything in the Word of God. But I may still expect you to consider human life. I may still consider you to respect other people and values and, you know, at least be consistent and maybe convicted and maybe think before you do something or ask why you should join some movement. But if you're a Christian today, which, let's do another quick study. How many Americans today in 2022 would proclaim themselves to be Christian? And don't pull in a denomination like Catholic or just Christian. Let's see what Google says about this. Those that say they're Christian today, this following statement's for you. Do you actually anchor your decisions in the Word of God, meaning the Bible, meaning opening the book and physically reading Psalm 147. He heals the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Or go into Acts. Or go into Proverbs. That is incredible teaching. Or Kings, and just read the Word of God and find somewhere in the Word of God validity, an anchor, a foundation for the decisions you're making, the words you're speaking out of your mouth, the advice and the counsel you're giving. Are you doing that? I argue they're not. They're saying, God told me to do this. And I go, God did not tell you to do that. How do you know? Because His Word tells me He would not. It's not His character. God doesn't change character, by the way. God is not a Gen Zer. God is not a millennial. God is not confused about gender. He's not confused about anything. He doesn't change yesterday. He doesn't defend the child in the womb, but not the 12-year-old sex traffic victim. Or He doesn't defend the 12-year-old sex traffic victim and not the child in the womb. He doesn't break marriage. He doesn't say fornicate and sleep with anything with two legs, or sometimes, unfortunately, today, four. That's not God. God does not say destroy other people's property, devalue human life, have a complete disregard for law and order, lie, steal, cheat, destroy, covet. That's not God. If you're thinking God's telling you to do some of those things, you are sadly mistaken. Are we anchoring our decisions in the Word of God so that if you hear a voice and you think it's God, and consistently that voice you're hearing lines up with the Word of God, you can find biblical reference for it to say that's God's voice. Now you can trust that voice. It has built a reputable track record. Or you're listening to a voice. You can't find it in the Word of God. It's not God's voice. It's your voice. Or it's Satan's voice. That's right. Because he's speaking. Oh, Satan's speaking. This is about Americans. Good gracious. The U.S. Christian majority has been shrinking for decades, says this headline. This is a Pew Center for Research. A Pew Research Center study shows that as of 2020, about 64% of Americans identify as Christian. 50 years ago, the number was 90. So let's start with the 64%. If 64% of America actually anchored in the Word of God, 95% of the issues today would not be discussed. That's a fact. Chew on that cookie. The 64% that say they're Christians, they're not listening to this word, or we wouldn't be discussing these issues. If the majority, which is 64%, so think of every election, every vote, 64% of the people, if they were lining up with God's word, not a fluid version, not woke Jesus. Oh, there's woke Jesus. There's Jesus, then there's woke Jesus. We're not talking about woke Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, the guy who died on the cross with his blood paid for your sins and mine. Did not profile. Did not say it's for some and not for others. Was consistent. Did exactly what his father told him to do. Said only what his father said. Did only what his father did. Fulfilled every promise he ever made. Self-sacrificed. The only God of any gods in history that sacrificed his own son. So you don't have to lose your life. So you have a way out. So you can be saved. That Jesus, if 64% of Americans were listening and surrendering and yielding to that Jesus, that God in the Word of God, and walked into the booth to vote, you wouldn't have the issues you had today. We wouldn't have to discuss what's a man and what's a woman. Because the majority would speak up. So we have a problem. Gen Z, as I dove even deeper, I got to this issue. Gen Z wants to move. They are activists. They are the activist generation. They will show up, man. They'll show up. They'll show up in a tent. They show up wet as a whistle with 2 cents to their name. They don't care. Heck, they'll fly to Israel with their last dollar and not have a place to stay. And just saying, man, I'm going. They will go. Praise God. And I want to say something good about them. They will go. The baby boomers, they didn't go nowhere. Heck, they would know that the building was on fire on the other side of the city and they wouldn't go. Sorry, baby boomers, but you didn't move. Gen Z will move. So what is the enemy doing? He goes, let's let them move. Let's just move them in the wrong direction. Let's just confuse God's voice. Let's just make them believe atheism is the way to go. Let's just make them create a woke Jesus. Let them create a Jesus that's not consistent with his own father's word, which is blasphemous. It goes against the word of God. But they're preaching that Jesus from the pulpit. And for you, pastor, who have bought into the woke Jesus, may you find him again before your final breath. Because there is a fiery pit of hell for those who deny him. Oh, that's a reality. Chew on that one for a second. There's heaven and there's hell. And hell is no cakewalk. This is not hot Arizona. This is the gnashing of teeth and pain indefinitely. Eternal separation from truth. Eternal separation from God. Be careful. To whom much is given, much is required. You are in leadership as a pastor and you preach woke Jesus. Oh, well, what's woke Jesus? Woke Jesus is this many genders. Woke Jesus is truth is kind of up to you. Your truth, my truth. Sexual immorality. Well, what's sexual immorality? How about we just redefine it? It's not a pedophile. It's a minor attracted person. It's just a person that loves sex with children. We're supposed to love everybody. Yes, this book says you're supposed to love everybody, but this book also tells you love corrects. This book also tells you that sexual immorality is an abomination to God. It's a sin against your own temple. Same book that tells you love everybody. Because the same book says love the sinner, which I am. We're all sinners. But hate the sin. You cannot come into agreement with the sin. But it's no problem, Yaku. We're not in agreement with the sin. We're writing a new law. Don't you know? We're writing a new law. You can abort. Now it's not a sin anymore. It's a new law. It's a law. Are you insane? Have you lost your mind? Thinking that we can write a law and that becomes the plumb line for the human race. Because we write a law in Tennessee or in Wisconsin or in Kansas City, let's pick California for a second because they write some laws now. Gavin Newsom, he's got magic wand. Oh, he'll write some laws. He'll write some laws that will literally see almost every child sexually exploited because he's placating to somebody. The voice he's listening to is not God. Because you don't do that. This book says you don't harm a single one of the innocent. You put a millstone around your neck and you drown yourself in the ocean before you harm a single child. No, but we're not harming children anymore, Yoko. It's a law now. You can talk about masturbation to a five-year-old now. You can show him pornography. That's fine. In the classroom. It's a law. It's not a sin. It's woke Jesus. Are you vomiting in your mouth yet? This is how dismal the picture looks when we take a true magnifying glass and we put it over the United States of America and we do a true intellectual audit of our nation. It is horrific. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the Tower of Babel. By God, we probably should build a boat like Noah because some things, it won't be water again. Thank you, Lord, for the rainbow that God owns. Not a movement. The rainbow's a promise. But I'll tell you, the next time this little thing goes up, it's not with water, it goes up in flames. So for all your global warming, climate change fanatics, let me give you a news flash. Read Revelation. This thing burns, baby. It goes up in smoke. Fire is going to consume this place. Fire is going to consume those who deny God. We are recklessly trading with human life. Recklessly. And it's on us. A scripture that should make you... Can you pull up, please, Rebecca, Ezekiel 33:7, so I can read it from the Word of God so people don't think I'm making this stuff up. Because maybe some people need to get back and read again for a minute. I know you believe. I do. But you can be deceived. The spirit of deception and coercion is so powerful that it created a woke Jesus. New King James Version, my favorite translation. Ezekiel 33:7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel, a watchman on the wall. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Can you go to 33:8? This is the next verse. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked. Okay, so now God tells me, Yaku, I love children. Please tell America to stop raping children. To stop making laws to sexualize children. If I do not warn, you do not warn, and we don't stop and repent, here's what happens. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood of whatever he did will be on my hands. So if I see injustice, according to the Word of God, and I don't warn about it, that blood's on my hands. Oh, then there's a lot of blood on the hands of the church. Let's go on. But what happens if I do warn? If we can, Rebecca, I'm sorry. Just go through. That's 34. That's 34, though. Oh, okay, we're good. Verse 7. So you, son of mine, I make you a watchman, house of Israel. Do not warn, the blood will be in your hands. Where's the... Help me understand, I'm losing myself. A wicked man. Okay. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, stop abusing children, stop confusing five-year-olds about their gender, stop planting your negative seeds in their minds, stop changing language, stop changing law, stop normalizing sin, stop not prosecuting crime, stop telling people they can steal from other people and not go to jail, stop, hello Chicago, hello J.B. Pritzker, governor, stop saying you're not going to prosecute second-degree murder, arson, rape. Stop that, J.B. Pritzker. If I tell you to stop, like I just did, according to the word of God, you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Dear God, do you think this is important? Your soul is at stake. If you don't act upon what is righteous according to the word of God, if you don't step into your community and your culture and point out injustice, and we're not talking about publicly shaming people and blaming them. When I mention J.B. Pritzker, he's a politician. He's an elected official. He put himself into the public office. I can talk about him publicly. But if you don't say, enough is enough, we got to stop this madness. Stop. Your soul is at stake. Oh, now we get into the theologians. Yaku, once saved, always saved. Okay, great. You want to take that gamble? Or do you maybe want to lean towards that little thing called the fear of God? Do you maybe want to lean towards the action of, hey, let me make sure I'm right with God. Let me not gamble with this one. Let me not be part of the, oh, 2 minutes left. One more. Why not? Revelation, pull up. You drove demons out of my name and you prophesied in my name, but depart from me, I do not know you. Those who today call themselves Christian will hear this from God at the pearly gates. In between where they are today and either entering heaven or hell or not. Would you be willing to risk it? Is it important enough for you? Do you consider it? Do you even think about your actions? Do you possibly have stewardship over a Gen Zer? Are we actively speaking truth into their lives? Are we encouraging them to do deep searches and get convicted? Do we ask them to align that conviction with the word of God or see that it's in fact not God? Are we encouraging that or are we just perpetuating 12-minute Instagram and TikTok news cycles, 12-hour news cycles, and then it's in the rearview mirror and we're making radical decisions to change culture forever? Give me the scriptural reference here, Rebecca. Matthew 7, that's right. Okay. Just zoom back in there for me. Matthew 7:21, I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you mean I can't just say I'm a Christian? No, not quite going to cut it. I don't think that ticket will punch. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Oh, that's interesting. I think I told you earlier, Jesus did only what his Father told him to do. And said only what his Father told him to say. According to what? God's character that doesn't change. What are we to do? To the best of our ability, the same. Not justify the opposite. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day being when they stand in front of God by themselves, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You who practice, wait for it, Lawlessness. Oh, no, we're just going to change the law. Praise God, he gave us 10 commandments so that when we lose our rudder as the American society and we're flailing in the ocean and our founding fathers is a dismal mirage in our past and as a small remnant that can even remember that, oh, maybe, just maybe, our nation was in fact founded upon Judeo-Christian truths. If we're that lost, well then at least, thank God Moses came down a mountain with a set of instructions that said, hey, by these 10 guidelines, rules, commandments, a society can prosper. A society can function. May that once again be our guiding light back to truth as we're guiding Generation Z, who could be the most powerful generation on earth if we activate them for good, if we inform them deeply, if they're convicted by the Word of God, the Spirit of truth, which is God, and then they move. Things will move. This nation will move towards righteousness and prosperity and true love, which the next episode we're going to dive into is what is love. Because love is not God, by the way. God is love. Big difference. God bless you. Talk to you next time. Thank you.